Welcome to Nevada News. Meg's on the program today. It's an all-pundit show with Howard Rosenberg, Trey Abney, and Seth Richardson. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's an all-pundit show today. Seth Richardson joins us. He's the political reporter for the Reno Gazette-Journal. We have Trey Abney, Director of Government Relations for the Chamber, and Howard Rosenberg, who needs no introduction. Pleasure to have you all here. Question for you, Seth. What's been the biggest surprise for you of this campaign so far?
Ooh, that's a bit of a tough one because everything's been so surprising, but I think it's got to be the rise of Donald Trump, because you go back a year ago and you look at where this campaign started, and what was everyone thinking? It was going to be a Hillary Clinton versus maybe Jeb Bush or Scott Walker, maybe a Marco Rubio, that kind of candidate. No one really saw Donald Trump kind of coming to the forefront. Now we're what, 11 weeks out from an election, and you've got him kind of leading the ticket. That's been easily the most surprising. Now, since that has happened, I don't know, we've had surprise after surprise after surprise.
He's coming to Lake Tahoe here by the end of the month. There have been major changes in the campaign again today. Paul Manafort has sort of been demoted. There's rumors going around, true or not, that Roger Ailes is helping with debate prep. Your thoughts on all of this?
Well, the Manafort and Ukraine connection certainly don't help at a time right now. You know, he's already been criticized for being cozy with Putin, and now you've got, you know, rumors of money flowing in illegally to lobbyists via Manafort. He just keeps getting hit, you know, hit after hit after hit in these past couple weeks, and I think he does need some kind of shakeup, because whatever he's doing right now doesn't seem to be working. I mean, you've seen it with the Khan family and the Second Amendment comment, and the Obama is the founder of ISIS, and now this, and it just kind of keeps rolling in. So I think they are going to need something. I mean, his poll numbers just keep dipping and dipping and dipping.
But what's interesting, the stories you read about this, is Trump says he's felt too boxed in, and so the new team is going to let Trump be Trump again. And I didn't know, I'm not sure what he's been doing then these last couple months. And so the idea that he could be more Trump, I think, could be fascinating over the next couple of months.
Well, you know, and the other interesting thing, and I've said it on the show a couple of times already, is that, you know, I look at the Reid-Engel race of 6 years ago, And there was 6 weeks between the time that Sharon Angle won the primary and then had to regroup and get a professional campaign going. Within that 6 weeks, she was decimated by the Reid campaign.
Because it was hers to lose?
It was cut after cut after cut. The attack team is the same on the Democratic side this time around, except it's a national organization, and there is no surprise that these stories are coming out one after the other after the other.
Well, it's good that you made that comparison, because you had a Senator Harry Reid that really his numbers were bad. He had low approval rating. You have a now Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton, who nobody really likes either, pretty low approval ratings. And so really it's just to dump on the other guy, right? To drive up Trump's negative so high, or in that case drive up Sharon Angle's negative so high, that they win. So it's a good comparison.
Well, the other thing, too, is the organization of the Democrats across the country. I got a call the other day from the Democratic headquarters for the Hillary campaign in Vegas, a new communications director. What happened to the old communications director? Well, they've been sent back to D.C. for rapid response. I don't see that kind of organization with the Trump campaign. It's more panic response.
Well, they don't. There's some states where they have no paid staff at all. And you know, usually that's why you have a party structure in place, and then you put paid staffers on the ground in key counties and key precincts, and it's kind of a fly by the seat of his pants.
And you notice that the National Party is the one that's really doing a lot of the legwork for him as well, because he doesn't have a lot of that paid staff.
And you know, yet they don't have the money, because national parties are not set up. Mm. They need the candidate to be the one that goes out and raises the $1.5 billion to run a campaign.
And fundraising's been a real issue for him, too.
Well, especially when you keep saying you're going to be self-funded, and you know, not too many people are going to write a check for $1.5 billion, and it wouldn't work anyway. Howard, you have been patiently sitting here. You know, tell me about the theatrics of all this, because really, you know, the campaigns were a spectacle. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the spectacle so far?
Trump is a master, an absolute master. He's controlling everything. He doesn't give a damn what he says, because it seems to be working. I don't believe in poll numbers. They change every 20 minutes, depending upon who you're talking to. What disturbs me more than anything else is this the best we can do? After I don't know how many hundreds of years, this is the best. I think we're in trouble, kids.
But you know what, though, Howard? If you look at the Republican Party, over the years, it's been who's next in line.
Mm-hmm. And Bob Dole, John McCain, right?
Yes. I mean, these were not sterling candidates. Mitt Romney. They were solid candidates, but they were not dynamic, exciting candidates. And you could have said the same thing about the Republican campaigns, you know, going back many, many years.
I did something that I never thought I would do. I kept my big mouth shut when I wanted to say something desperately. I am now going to say it. This is going to be fun. You look at Donald Trump and what he says and the way he says it. Look at what he is appealing to. We're going to make America great again. We're going to do this again. We're going to get respect again. Does that sound like anybody that you've heard of before? In the early 1930s?
Well, that's a tough comparison, and one that certainly a lot of people on the liberal side of the aisle have made.
I don't know whether it's liberal or not, but listen to it. And listen to what he's doing. He's doing the very same thing that was done in Germany in 1933. But it scares the hell out of me.
I think there's a big difference between a guy kind of rallying a crowd and saying, we're going to make America great again, and you know, one of the big, you know, the poster child for mass genocide.
Remember, he wasn't the poster child for mass genocide then, when he started. That happened later. Listen to the way he spoke, what he did to a crowd, and the way he did it. Then, look at what's happening now. I have a class up at the university you know about. It's called Film Studies. This semester we're going to do makes and remakes. The reason is really very simple. There is the Manchurian Candidate, 1962. Did you see the Manchurian Candidate, 2004? Mm-hmm. The difference is really very simple. Instead of it being the communists, the Red Scare, we now have corporations. Scary? Make you think? I don't know. I'm curious to see how my students respond.
All right, let's take a break. More with our power pundit panel. I can't even get the words out. More with these guys when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer, they represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers with Seth Richardson, Trey Abney, and Howard Rosenberg. It's an interesting allusion that Howard was making to Hitler earlier. The thing that struck me, though, as part of the campaign, was when Trump was in Nevada during the primary, or the caucus, I should say, and talked about, you know, how he loves, I don't remember, I'm paraphrasing, the uneducated voters.
Yeah. Well, the uneducated love him, is what, you know.
Yeah.
The uneducated love me, and, you know, the people kind of latch onto that, but it was more of a speech about how well he, you know, he frankly did here, you know, went in by 20-some points, you know, more than 20 points, and he was just going down saying, you know, everyone loves me, and I won this group, and I won this group, and I won this group, and yeah, he did say the uneducated love me, I love the uneducated, and you do look at some of his numbers, and it shows that, you know, lower-educated people do tend to like him, but that doesn't mean there aren't educated people out there that are fond of him, but he seems to be, you know, the draw with that kind of working class sort of white male. That's especially where he's drawing from. You have a group who they're upset with the way things are, and they're kind of latching onto this candidate and saying, "Hey, he's speaking my mind right for me. That's what I want to hear."
It was his unpolished way of saying the elites don't like me, but everybody else does. The regular guy does, right? The guy with the name on a shirt leaving the auto body shop at 7 o'clock. You know, Trump talks like them, and they don't necessarily care what he
says.
It doesn't
matter about the jet.
It's just the matter that
school, Mar-a-Lago,
right? That he's poking the big guys, right? That he's against the Republican establishment, the Democrat establishment. You know, he's for them, and that's his message, and that's why he's resonating. I mean, I think a lot of people are frustrated with the vessel that all this frustration is coming through. But the frustration's real, and if we ignore that, we do that at our peril.
True.
I think
because.
Well, because, I mean, if it's not Trump, I mean, this is not going to go away in 4 years. Whoever wins election of these two unlikable candidates, it's not like 4 years later everybody's going to be, okay, everything's cool. I'm good now. You know, somebody else will rise.
Does it not depend on the economy?
Certainly.
Does it not always depend on the economy? You look on a national basis, we're getting close to full employment.
That's right. But people aren't feeling that, at least in certain areas of the country or certain socioeconomic status. I mean, they're not everybody is feeling that, and they feel frustrated. They may have a job, but it's not what they want.
It doesn't pay enough. Right. It doesn't take care of them the way they feel. It should take care of them. The American dream Everybody throws that around. You know, what is the American dream? It changes constantly as we evolve. The base is you want to be able to have a home, a family, a place to send your kids to school, maybe let them go to college if they need to do that, a good trade school, you know. If it were up to me now, tomorrow, and I were in that spot, I'd learn how to be an electrician or a plumber. I really would. I admire people who can do something practical. I have 3 degrees. I couldn't fix anything if my life depended on it, but I can break it so that they can come and fix it. You know, there's that kind of a thing. What is the dream today as opposed to what it was when I was young?
Okay, but who formulates that dream is the question. Because if you watch the movie The Big Short, a part of the problem with the home buying was government was encouraging banks to lend money to anybody.
Right.
And then Wall Street took over, bundled all of these outrageous, worthless loans into these instruments of death, basically, to our economy. So where does that dream come from? Is it a ground-up dream, or is it a government-sponsored dream?
I think it's sort of, the American dream has always been kind of a false sort of.
Nebulous.
Everybody thought, white picket fences in the suburbs, and that was sort of the American dream. Well, you know, America's really changed since the 1950s, and it's rapidly changing to this day. So the American dream is really different to anyone. What you see with the, you know, distaste that people have for politics today is I think they kind of remember a time before 2008 where things were going a little better, you know, at least they remember it being better. And, you know, nowadays, you know, especially with nobody being convicted from, you know, the 2008, I'm sorry, there was one man who was convicted.
Right.
But, you know, they see that and, you know, all of a sudden, well, the game's rigged. There is no American dream because it is rigged. And that's kind of how they feel. And that's where this upset feeling comes from. At least that's kind of the way I see it.
Well, and it's interesting because when people use the phrase "Make America Great Again," you know, if you go back to the turn of the last century, the railroad barons, the mining barons and others, was there any difference in the way that the country was laid out?
Well, no.
Leading into the Great Depression.
You know, you always have folks that are upset at rich folks and corporations and everything. I mean, these are the people that provide a lot of jobs, too. So, you know, they're upset at these folks.
The people that want to get rid of the death tax because they believe they themselves will be rich enough one day to pay it.
Well, sure, and I'm not sure it's a taxable event when you hand money to your children. I don't know why. I don't think everything has to be a taxable event. But, I mean, I understand, and you know, the American dream, it's different for, you know, millennials. The American dream to them is living in a condo in Midtown, you know, and not having kids. And so it kind of depends on what, and the point is, I think more and more voters are seeing both parties as problems and not solutions. Neither party is providing the American dream. You know, you've got a lot of socially liberal but fiscally conservative young folks, and there's not a party there that really fits them. They're like, look, I don't care about gay marriage, I don't care about abortion, but... You know, I'm not sure we need all these taxes and all these social programs and debt after debt, you know, all these problems, free college tuition for all.
But you know what we end up hearing, and I'm sure you get the same thing, Sam, which is a lot of millennials, I'm talking people in their mid-30s, mid-40s, are excited about Gary Johnson. But when you scratch the surface and say, okay, tell me more about Gary Johnson, they have no clue.
They just know that he's not Hillary or
exactly.
Donald Trump.
And to go to, you know, Trey's point a little bit, so... you know, we kind of came of age during the financial crisis, and you know, we're saddled with student loan debt. You know, student loan debt's over $1 trillion now.
Yeah.
It's gotten to a point where a lot of people my age feel like we're never going to be able to, you know, we're not going to be able to afford that white picket fence. So how is that an American dream? You know, we might not be able to afford a condo. We're just looking for the best place to rent something, and. You know, they see it as a failing of the two parties, like, you know, everyone said. And, yeah, they see Gary Johnson. He's out there. He's talking about, you know, legalizing marijuana and gay marriage is fine. And, hey, he's kind of trying to be the common sense candidate.
Yeah, we don't need wars everywhere.
We don't need wars everywhere. You know, we've been in Afghanistan for how long now?
10 years,
and it's, you know, at some point I think it just might be exhausting to people my age. You know, 9/11 happened when I was... I want to say around 10, 11 years old, and we have been, I'm 26 now, and so we have been involved in the Middle East for 15, 16 years now, and at some point, you know, I think people my age just sort of see that, and they're like, how long are we going to keep doing this?
For those that have an interest, there is a fascinating last Sunday's New York Times Magazine that devotes the whole issue to different places in the Middle East and what has happened going all the way back to the beginning of all this. And it's a fascinating read. I'm about halfway through it, but it really is a fascinating read. And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising health care costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our health care spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising health care costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Friends find a way to brighten your day. In good times and bad, lift you up when you're sad. Friends will always find a way.
Sometimes in your financial life, you need a friend, too. With our variety of loan services, we'll have one to fit your needs. We're here for you.
Friends will always find a way.
Check City, here to help when you need cash.
What could be greater than Reno Aces baseball? How about a season of baseball at the new and improved
Greater Nevada Field?
Everything will sound greater with our new surround sound. Games will look greater in full HD. There's more craft brews on tap.
You're here.
And the food, totally greater. Don't miss the greatest season of baseball ever. This place is the greatest.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And now back to the pundits. One of the problems, Howard, it seems to me, is that higher education has become such a big business that there's so much money in it that nobody wants to put the brake on and say, you know what, maybe somebody like Seth should not be at 26 years old going, I'm so saddled with student debt, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to buy a house.
Let me put it to you this way. Many of us who teach in higher education are looking at it as we need certain information, and we need not to give you the information, but to show you how to find the information for yourself. There's too much stuff out there. When a kid can take that phone out of his pocket, and I nailed one because I thought he was texting while I was talking. I mean, heresy. And he looked at me, he said, you mentioned an artist. I was looking him up. And I said, on what? He said, my phone. I said, oh, come on. It rings, you answer it, and you make calls. You don't find things out on it. Well, he educated the teacher, who knew some of it, but not all of it.
You hadn't found out that people don't use their phones for phone calls anymore.
Keep quiet. Nobody asked you. The thing that bugs me is I had to be brought up short by our Vice President for Enrollment Services, Dr. Chirosi. One of the kids had been let go from the university. He hadn't made the grade point average, and he had to go. I wanted to give him one more semester. And she grabbed me, and she said, look at this. He has borrowed money to fail these classes. What good are you doing? And he needs to be brought up short. Now, enough, Howard. Hello? There are two people on my campus, well, three, that I'm afraid of, and Dr. Chirosi is two of those people. It brought me up short. The kids, when I'm talking to them, will look at me and say, you're a closet Republican. And I said, what does that mean? Well, you're fiscally conservative, but you're liberal in social, you know, image around, you know, around town and around the country. I can understand that, too. These kids today know one hell of a lot more than we knew at their age. They don't know necessarily how to order it so that it makes some sense to them. It's the organization. You're 26 years old. Do you know how many years ago it was that I was 26 years old?
Do you really want me to guess?
No, I don't.
Was there TV back then?
There were cars, too, smart guy. What I'm trying to say is it does change for all of us, very definitely. But what do those of us who are trying to do the right thing, what do we do? How do we do it? Big business is one thing. How do you get it out of the way? You still need money to run the system.
Okay, but the I guess the bottom line to me in this discussion now is turn to, you know, what are the goals? You know, what are your expectations of life? It's certainly not to stay in one career for the rest of your life.
Not today.
Are you talking to
yeah.
me personally?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I personally love my career, but... Yeah, I mean, with millennials, it's. I think there is.
I didn't mean to push you out the door at the RGJ.
No, no, no.
You know, with millennials, I think there's also some, you know, a bit of just kind of confusion and a little bit of waywardness there as well. There's still, you know, a lot of us are still trying to find ourselves. I mean,
true.
You know, you think back to, you know, however long ago, and you were sort of. You know, pushed out the door at 18, you kind of had to decide real quick. Well, that's not necessarily the case today, and I don't think it's necessarily a fault of millennials being indecisive or anything. I think it's got more to do with the economy. I mean, how many millennials are living at home with their parents into their late 20s now out of necessity, not because, you know, they're lazy or anything like that?
No, and I think also to an extent choice, and unfortunately we are out of time. A great discussion. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
What began as a vision grew to become a foundation of Nevada history. A place where gridiron greatness was born. Leaders became legends. An entire community rose up as one. Now, 50 years later, Mackey Stadium has been reborn, and the next chapter begins. Nevada Wolfpack Football. For season tickets, visit NevadaWolfpack.com or call 348-PACK.
Title Max makes it easy to turn your title into cash. Just go to TitleMax.com. Find out how much you can get.
Using TitleMax.com, I got
$1,400. $3,200.
TitleMax.com got me $9,700.
Best of all, most credit types are approved. Next time you need cash, try TitleMax for rate. Try TitleMax for the amount you need. Find out why so many people are saying,
I got my title back with TitleMax.
Get your title back with TitleMax.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your couture dry cleaner and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch, to a nationalized partner in textile restoration. Bobby Page's, over 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner, we're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at bobbypages.com.
Mark your calendars for Senior Fest, September 6th, 9 to 2 at the Reno Town Mall. Senior Fest provides information and referral, home and community-based resources, health screenings, and flu shots. The El Dorado Showroom Entertainment, The Full Monty, will provide a special performance along with Erica Paul and the Swinging Jazz Cats. That's Senior Fest, corner of South Virginia and Peckham, where there's plenty of free parking. Call 348-0717. Senior Fest is brought to you by these great sponsors.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes.